Thank you, Brandon. Brandon gave us the thumbs up. Brandon's the fourth outdoorsman tonight. Hey, Stewmate of the four outdoorsmen. That boy, Brandon. Sam Ofdahl.
Hey, hey.
Mark Lukey.
Hello, everybody.
Super Stu.
Happy Easter. He has risen.
He has
Happy
risen.
He has risen indeed.
Resurrection Sunday.
No, yes. you said that sarcastically.
Say that again.
I said Happy Resurrection
okay,
Sunday.
Got it. Okay. Sorry.
And you said that a little bit facetiously.
No, man. Did he has you? Risen.
All right. All right.
I got the kids dressed up. You got your kids dressed up, too?
Yeah, Sam's pictures were awesome.
Thank you,
yeah.
Brandon.
What about mine, Brandon?
I haven't seen your pictures.
Well, what's up?
Yeah, I said I had to show you that because Luke looked like a chubby used car salesman in his tie that came to above his belly button.
Yeah, it's cute.
But
yeah. Yeah, we got the kids dressed up, watched our service, and tried to make it as normal as possible, I'll tell you that. It's not normal when it's snowing like crazy.
Yeah, what the heck?
I was in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, listening to the church on some local radio station in Chautauqua, but it just obviously does not feel like Easter. In fact, I didn't realize that this Easter, a Sunday was Easter. I thought it was Palm Sunday. Things just keep wrapping around, and every day is the same.
I think it's crazy that you're outside yesterday, 60 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And there's 6 inches of snow right now.
Yeah, yeah. I was out fishing in 60 plus 5 degree weather, 4 or 5 days ago? And now there's 4 inches of snow on the ground.
Life keeps spinning around, pal. That's all there is to it. We can't control.
Stuff.
I say the serenity prayer every day. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and I can't change the coronavirus, and I can't change 5 inches of snow. So all you do is just keep on plugging along, man. Every day's a gift.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you've been in your cabin.
Yeah, 5 days or so, my wife and I, and my son Mike, the real neat general contractor, is doing a lot of work over there. And
what's his company's name?
Heinen, H-E-I-N-E-N Construction. Thank you very much. That cost him $50 right there. But a lot of stuff's happening. I tell you, we had to put a window in. They call it a bay window, right? Is that a bay window or a bowl window?
Where it sticks out, a bay window.
I saw that video.
And I'm telling you, you didn't see this one, though, because it's just my son, Mike, who's smaller than I am. He's stronger and bigger chest-wise and all of that. Myself, who's not the biggest, strongest guy in the world. My wife, Diane, who's darn near 73, and she's not very strong. And Mike's wife, that's all we had. And we picked up that window, and it had to weigh 300 pounds. It has to. And had to lift it up about waist high and try to get it in the little hole area. I'm praying to God, Mike, that you cut this hole properly.
Yeah.
And we did. It was a lot of work, but we got it in there. And
I saw the video where you were taking down the old one.
Yeah, where he pushed it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
he was
really
all excited.
Cool. Yeah.
He can smash stuff up, but it's a lot of work. Then I was going to go out and finish it today. Now, I rented a power pressure sprayer from a guy in Lionel Lakes, a friend of mine named Mark Lukey. And and we took it up to Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and he told me, you're going to get addicted to this thing. So I started pressure spraying the garage. It's a vinyl siding. And you can't believe how dirty it is if you don't notice how dirty it is.
Right.
And you start pressure spraying it, and uh-oh, I think I built a monster, because now I can't just stop now. It's all or none.
It's classic Stu. He called me up last week. Can I borrow your pressure washer? I want to wash off my back deck. It was a concrete patio.
The patio at home in the Twin Cities here.
So I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I drove it over there, got it set up for him. 2 weeks later, he's pressure washed every single thing he owns. I keep getting videos of him washing things.
Mark.
I'm like, you're going to wear out the... I got the cheap Ryobi, you know, it was like $100, right? Now it has like 10,000 hours of spray on it.
Mark says, I don't know you're going to bring it across state lines. He said, there's got to be some kind of... So anyway, awesome. We're all done. I do the patio up there. We did the garage in the house. And all of a sudden, I turn around. My wife is pressure spraying the shed.
Oh, yeah.
The metal shed. And you don't. And that thing now looks like it's darn near brand new. But she's good. Then she takes everything out of the shed and pressure sprays the inside. Good thing we didn't have enough extension cord. We would have done a neighbor's house.
Are you sore?
No, well, I'll tell you, when you're doing in the high areas, I did the peak of the garage as well, which is stupid on a 60-foot ladder, holding out with one hand and using one. It's just crazy. But I did that. But that's hard when you have your arm up in the air the entire time. But the rest of this stuff wasn't bad at all. But no, that's a cool little machine you got there.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to use it again someday.
When's the last time you used it?
I use it quite a bit. I clean off the deck. And so I used it to strip. I had to restain my deck because I stained it last year. And it just bubbled up. It was just a terrible stain it didn't take. So I spent a week getting the old stain off and with spraying it. And I like cleaning stuff with it, too. And
by the way, both of our...
Go ahead.
Oh, by the way, no, he's going to Mark Fisher.
Oh,
Mark Fisher. By the way, the both of our cars look brand new. I pressure sprayed those as well.
Yeah, those things are fun. Some of them are pretty powerful too.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can strip anything with that if you have the right attachment.
I borrowed a buddy's Bobcat and took it over to my brother-in-law's, and he had one of those pressure washers. And I started on one side and sprayed it. Got to the other side, sprayed it, and we were doing some stuff up in my land, so it was really muddy. I think I walked circles around that like 10 times because it's like, where'd that dirt come from? Because it's like you keep spraying and spraying. And I'm the same way. Once you start, you can't stop.
I don't think we've had this play for 32 years. I think we had the siding put on and the roof put on and some of those windows at least 25 years ago. And I don't think it's ever been pressure sprayed. I don't think. Maybe Diana's done it, but I've never done it. And yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, but
and now you got to do it again after all this snow.
Nah, I'm done. I'll be dead before it's going to be done again. I can tell you that. So, you guys had a good week?
Yeah, had a great week. Took the boat out. I'll tell you, if you have little kids and stuff, take the boat out once and make sure everything's running before you take the kids out. Because I had that. I took my friend Eric. We stayed 6 feet apart from each other.
Good.
And got it going, fired right up. So excited. Got right outside the dock. It died. I'm like, oh, no, you know. So I started up, fired up again, went about 10 feet, it died. I'm like, first I'm thinking it's gas, something's wrong. You know, I started it in the driveway. I have one of those things you can connect to a hose.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
So it ran fine. So I'm like, what is going on? So I found out the fuel line was loose. So it just loosened up over time and was spraying fuel everywhere. So I did a bush fix. I cut off the tube and tried to reclamp it with – you know when you take a knife, like you don't have. Of course, I didn't have a screwdriver. Kind of like when I took the boys out and I didn't
no
have toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yep. So Eric helped me, but we took a knife and used the fat end of the knife and cranked it. And of course, he slipped and he cut himself. And,
oh yeah.
So we got the boat going. You know, we went on White Bear, and there was a lot of boats out there because it was 65 degrees and sunny. The water was just too cold. The water was 47 degrees. I hopped in the water, to unload the boat.
Yeah.
They don't have docks out yet in most lakes. And, man, that water was cold.
Yes, it is.
Wasn't your transducer loose?
Transducer was loose, too. So a couple things. Just get it right before you take other people out because then you're not messing with the boat the whole time. But, we had Shelly on, and she said shallow, muddy bays and – I don't know, White Bear has zebra mussels, so it's just crystal clear. You can see down 20 feet. You can see the bottom.
Wow.
So,
wow.
We went up. We started in the shallow bays trying to hit the reeds and stuff, and there's just nothing biting. I think it's just too cold. We saw some people catching fish a little bit deeper with slip bobbers, and we ended up catching a few small perch and stuff. But you have to have a muddy, muddy bay that warms up enough.
We're going to find out a little bit more about the spring fishing when Thane Jensen comes on with us at 6:40, talking about your boat screwing up this time early, and that's fine. You got it fixed already, but tell the story about last year. Wasn't it like 4th of July or something on that Centerville Lake, whatever? Hey, come on, everybody, and you went out, and the thing just died. And
that was the old boat. That was the Sea Sprite, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking the family out in a 1976 Sea Sprite with a 70 horse Johnson, and I never knew when it would actually start or when it would run. So there's probably a handful of times where I've taken the family out, got stuck, had to get towed back, and
I got to share the
so
story.
Glad I have a new boat.
Sam is new to the show here with us, and I don't know if Brandon's heard this one as well, but Mark knows this one. We first got our cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and I know Diana, my beautiful wife, is listening right now as well. We wanted to christen the chain of lakes, and I had a 14-foot boat with a 10-horse Johnson or something like that. And my wife had a beautiful, beautiful dress with elastic shoulders that she got like at a garage sale, one of those like lacy things. And she's a pretty lady anyway, but so the shoulders are down. We had a bucket of shrimp and some champagne, and we're going to take a cruise around the chain.
What were you wearing?
my normal G-string. I don't care about him. Whatever it was, anyway, so we start off and we're cruising, and somehow, I wasn't happy with the pitch of the motor, and so I took that pin out and I'm going to adjust the pitch because I couldn't plane properly. So I took the pin out and dropped it in the water. Now I'm thinking, now I'm screwed. What am I going to do? Let's just go over to the marina, which the marina is about a mile away. I knew where the marina was, and so we get out and I open the motor up and goes, and the prop goes up in the air, Just kept going. I'm worthless. So I rode for about an hour, and Dinah's sitting there looking good, drinking champagne, eating shrimp. We get to the marina, and I tell the guy what's going on. I lost it. Well, we can get one of those pins. How'd you get here? I said, we rode the boat. I rode, man. Rode from, he knows where we were, by Lakeview Resort. He says, why don't you just go in reverse? I never thought about that. Thank you very much. How come you weren't in the boat with me? So, yeah.
I had a story like that. My cousin was up north, and his dad was there, and his power steering went out on his boat, and he called his dad in. And halfway back when he was towing him back, he's like, I don't need you to tow me. My power steering's out. So he towed him halfway across the lake just because his power steering was out.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, you
that's funny.
You have a nice boat there. What is it now? It's an Alumacraft, right?
Yeah, it's an Alumacraft 2018. It's a 175 Voyager with a 115 Suzuki on it.
Well, that's nice.
So, yeah, man, what a tease. You get it all ready. You're all ready to go. And it starts to snow.
Yeah.
Oh, and I picked up my other Alumacraft. Now I have two Alumacrafts in the Lukey household. I have a 12-foot, 80-something boat that I'm trying to sell. So if you want a 12-foot
boat. What would you sell
boat,
that for?
What's that? What do I sell for? Probably put it for $1,000, and I have one person interested, but I'll probably have to lower the price on that. I shouldn't say that right now, but.
We'll tape that. It's a cute boat.
Yeah, you know, it's a good one. My only problem is I'm a large gentleman, and the weight limit on it, if I could take one kid, and that's about it.
A half a kid. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Sam and I are not going cruising in that 12-footer, I'll tell you that.
It sure it's not a 14-footer? Or is that
no,
12?
It's a 12-footer.
Is it?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, it looks like it's brand new. I mean, the word Alumacraft right on the outside looks like it's just got painted. That thing can't have too much time on it at all.
Well, it was my dad's boat forever, and I actually grew up fishing on that boat. And come to think of it, we were probably over the weight limit as a child, but
I'm guessing.
My dad's as big as I am. But it's got the cool Alumacraft in waves, like the writing on the side. They only did that for like 2 years. I've kind of come to know the brand and over the years because we did a spot for Minnesota Bound with the history and everything. But it is a cool boat, and it's in mint condition, and I put a lot of money getting it going again, so hopefully it finds a good home. But the wife was not happy that we have a boat with a tarp in the the driveway.
Yep. Yeah. Speaking of Minnesota Bound, got any news? Anything? Anybody special going to be on tonight?
Yeah, Mr. Ron Scher is going to join us tonight, and I thank him very much. We're going to talk about it, but there's a special tonight on Minnesota Bound about Raven. Raven unfortunately passed away a few months ago, and he's been such a big part of, or she has been such a big part of our brand and our show. So there's kind of a memorial type show tonight, and I have seen bits of it, and it's going to be a great one. It's amazing how much Raven meant to the people of Minnesota. I'll tell you, I get to read the messages that people send in, and you know, and Ron's the first to say that Raven's the star of the show, and it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
That everyone that writes in wants to know about Raven or has a Raven story. So it's going to be a great show tonight. So we're going to have Ron on to talk about that show, how Raven became a part of Minnesota Bound. It was a kind of a fluke thing. It wasn't planned. So I've heard the story, and it's a great one. So we're going to have him talk about that.
10:30 on Channel 11?
Yep, 10:30 on Care 11. So yeah. Tune in tonight. It'll be on. And I'd also like to talk to him. He's a huge turkey guy. That's his thing. And I know that he normally travels out west, and I don't think he's going to be doing that with the stay kind of in place kind of thing. And also minfish. There's a lot going on in the fishing world, and
I forgot all about minfish
there, and he's the spokesman for that. So yeah, it's gonna be great. I always appreciate it when Ron can come on. I try not to bug him too much, but he's a great resource to have.
Well, I'll tell you what, having Ron Scherer from Minnesota Bound and Ron Scherer Productions on is a thrill for us. It's a privilege. But if you haven't read the Outdoor News, even if you don't subscribe to the Outdoor News, go pick one up. He has a really, really good story in there this issue. Along with Tim Spielman's got some great writing in there. But the Outdoor News, pick it up. And Ron's got some funny, funny things to talk about.
I've been reading a lot in the Outdoor News. You remember when we had that state congressman on talking about rifle hunting? Like, he proposed a bill to have rifle hunting across the state.
Absolutely.
And it seemed that really tripped a lot of people off. Because the last couple of weeks I've read the Outdoor News in the opinion section. It's someone from southern Minnesota that hunts with slugs that has a big problem with the rifle thing. I'm surprised that it struck that much controversy, I guess.
Well, based
say.
On the information we got from other people who know a lot more than we do, they think it's going to pass.
They
right?
do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they say when that was going to pass?
I'm not sure. I doubt it'll be for this season or not, but yeah, I was really surprised. And you know, some of the things make sense, but I still personally, I'm for it, but I don't know.
Let's ask Ron about it as well. Yeah.
So. The thing I like about Ron too is you can, if you see him, you can go up and shake his hand and talk to him. It's so nice just to have a guy like that who's been around for a while that is willing to take 5 minutes to talk to you. It really is.
You mentioned that, and a good friend of mine, Dan Boris, and Mark knows Dan Boris as well. He was at Hinckley, I think it was, maybe 10, 15 years ago. It had to be something in that ballpark. And at the casino, he walks in, and Ron Shera is playing blackjack. And so Dan walks up to him and says, "Mr. Shera," he said, "I don't want to bother you." And he said, "Yeah, you better hit that one. You better do that kind of thing, you know." But he said, "You know, I love to ice fish, but my hands get cold so fast, and I've got arthritis in my fingers, and I have a hard time tying knots. Can you give me, what is your special knot when your fingers get cold?" Ron says, "You got any fishing line?" "Well, not in my pocket." And so Dan goes out to his car in the parking lot, obviously, comes back in, and Ron Shera at the blackjack table shows him how to tie his special knot.
That's awesome.
When your fingers are cold. That was cool.
At Game Fair, I gave him a pack of those Gator Eyes lights.
Yeah.
And then at the ice show, like, he's like, "I don't know if I need any more lights." And then at the ice show, he's like, "I love those little things." He goes, "You got to give me a couple more of those packs." Like, he's just a good guy. Like, here I thought he'd probably throw it on, you know, on a box of stuff. And never,
what are you talking
it.
About?
These little lights, I rep them. They're called little Gator Eye lights. I'll give you some after the show.
They're good. I got them all over the place.
But, yeah, I gave him one. He kind of was like, you know, I didn't think he was going to use it. And he came back to me and gave me a review on it. And I appreciated it, you know.
Hey, I was going to call you, Sam, before we – I forgot about it this afternoon. We did talk this afternoon, yeah, but I forgot to ask you. I was going to ask you to bring me one or two of those neck things you were talking about.
Oh, shoot. I can get you, I'll bring you some.
You know, that makes so much sense. If you're going to cover your face anyway, that thing just hangs around your neck, right?
Yeah.
It's not even there until you need it to pick it up instead of having to carry a mask, do this kind of stuff. That's cool.
I've tried wearing those fishing because it looks cool and all. You know, you kind of look like
they
a
suck
cool
with
dude.
A beard.
They do suck with the beard, and it feels like a weak person's choking me all day.
See, but for Strew, it'd be perfect. Like,
why?
For him going around his neck? Well, because...
You don't have an 18.5 or 19-inch neck?
No, I do not.
You don't have to keep looking for dress shirts. You can go right to the section and get it. Mark and I have to order them, okay? No, but
that's a million-dollar idea. Neck buffs for large individuals.
Big and tall neck buffs.
Yeah.
Pound it.
Yeah, yep.
But
Shark Tank, here we come.
Yeah. Do you, when you golf, Strew, do you wear a hat and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you, because if you don't like getting sun, you could wear them golfing too, because they do breathe.
Okay.
So I'll bring you some.
I normally wear a hat because I look cool in hats.
I'll bring you a few different colors.
It's all about the ego, pal. I don't care about skin cancer. I want to look cool.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Did you do that Strew monument yourself?
I cut it with a sawzall about 15 years ago when a tree broke down and it broke above the S. It was just a big tree. I said, well, heck, instead of taking the whole thing down, I got a sawzall because I don't own anything. I got it from Bob Krejci, another guy that Mark knows. And, it's all one piece. It's all one piece and sitting on top of the stump. That's kind of cool. I'm kind of proud of that.
You should be.
And I did not get hurt. Hey, we're going to wrap it up. Let's take a break. Let's listen to some music, Brandon. Thank you very much.
Ron Shera on the horn next on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, this is Strew Man here from my favorite fishing destination by far, and that's Devil's Lake. We get there as often as we can, not only for the Devil's Lake jumbo perch, the 12-month walleye season with no slot and 10 in possession, but there's a whole lot more. Plenty of hiking trails, great hunting, restaurants, casino resorts, package deals, and there's something literally for everyone who loves the outdoors. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. If you don't know Power Lodge, you don't know Marine and Power Sports Dealers. Power Lodge in Ramsey, Onamia, and Brainerd has everything you need for the outdoors. ATVs, UTVs, sleds, bikes, golf carts, side-by-sides, and Alumacraft boats with, right now, the red tag sale that can save you up to $2,500. You got a trade-in? It's Power Lodge. You need service? That's Power Lodge. You need storage? Ask Lukey on that one. He stores his boat every year at Power Lodge. Got more questions? Go to powerlodge.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Most of us have been spending a lot more time at home recently, and perhaps you've been noticing it's time to upgrade your sheets and pillows. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. And even as MyPillow changes their production to provide masks for hospitals, they still want to help you get the best sleep of your life. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on Supima MyPillows, Giza Dream Sheets, MyPillow Towels, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcases, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Bob or call 1-800-606-7812. If you order Mike's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free, plus he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, sheets, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-606-7812 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com, promo code Bob.
These past several weeks, healthcare workers, first responders, and retail workers have emerged as heroes. Lowe's recognizes their efforts, and we want you to join us in creating DIY thank you messages using items you can find in your home. A can of paint, wood scraps, or even Christmas lights. You can find ideas to get you started at lowes.com/buildthanks. Once your message is ready, share it outside your home for them to see, and online using the hashtag #buildthanks.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its MBA and Business Analytics Master's degree programs offered 100% online. Learn more about the top-ranked W.P. Carey business degrees online. Text RANK to 79645. Again, that's RANK to 79645.
We are back to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. And I'll tell you what, instead of BSing amongst us guys right now, we better bring on the big shot. Ron Shira, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Well, thank you. I'm just sitting here at home, you know, counting flowers on the wall, watching Captain Kangaroo reruns, you know.
Hey, Ron, can you sing that song? Counting flowers on the wall. Can you sing it?
Smoking cigarettes.
Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all.
There you go.
Hey, he's got it.
Yeah.
With a deck of 51, smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kang.
There you go. And don't tell me. I've nothing to do. So, Ron, if the outdoor television show stuff didn't go, you would have had a career in music. Mark Luke is in town here, pal. Say hi to your buddy, Ron.
Hey, Ron, I miss you, buddy. You know, I love it when you come into the office. You just brighten up the place, and being home is not as exciting. How are you holding up? I miss you.
Well, you know, I probably have it just as, difficult as anybody else, but I'm very fortunate. My house is paid for. I don't have to worry about rent, you know.
But
yep. I've gone through... I have enough fishing tackle for five lifetimes. And some of it was quite a mess, so I reorganized it into a new mess. That's not really my forte. And I put line on some reels, et cetera. And I'm still, a lot of us are still wondering what's going to happen with the fishing opener. Now, I don't think it's going to be closed. But I haven't called my resort yet where we go. I have a big family deal there, 25 of us get together. I don't know what their plans are, but so I'm kind of waiting. But there's a lot of unknown out there.
You're right. There is a lot of unknown. Everyone's kind of changing their plans. And I don't know even if this order passes, if resorts are going to be open or not. But I have a reservation in a resort up north in early June. I'm kind of questioning if they're going to be open or not, but I think we're all kind of in limbo here trying to figure out what to do with ourselves. But I just want to say thank you for coming on. And one of the reasons I invited Ron on is because there's a really special Minnesota bound tonight about Raven. And if you haven't heard, unfortunately, Raven passed a couple months ago, and Raven was a big part of Minnesota bound. And I was just wondering if you could maybe give us a little teaser and tell us a little bit about Raven and how that got all started.
Well, thank you, Mark. Um, This was actually Raven the Third that just passed away. They were all mother, daughter. And they were they've been a fixture on television on Carol Evan for almost 25 years. So that's amazing. And so when Raven the Third passed away, Scott Franson, your boss, and some others, they decided they wanted to do a half-hour special about the dog. I was kind of lukewarm on the idea, mm-hmm. but I have seen the show now, and I tell you what, it wasn't easy for me to watch, but I had forgotten everything that dog did with me for conservation, state fair, public appearances. I mean, I had forgotten some of that stuff. It really was fun to relive some of it. But all three Ravens, a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of people do because they help. But between all three Ravens, they have inspired enough donations to, mm-hmm. with matching grants, et cetera, for close to $1 million for Friends Forever for Wildlife Area.
Wow.
Yeah, and one particular one is the Two Rivers Wildlife Area by Sleepy Eye, west of Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. And Raven generated roughly $250,000 that Friends Forever could use for grants. And so when they dedicated that, it's like a 700-acre area. When they dedicated it, they had a big sign there, you know, this is thanks to DNR, Ducks Unlimited, Friends Forever, blah, blah, blah. And there was... and also Raven, the Star of Minnesota Bound. And so I tell you this because the first Raven's ashes are in a little garden cement bench in my backyard here. And I have Raven the Second's ashes, and I now have Raven the Third's ashes. And it's my wife's idea, and I have permission from DNR to do this. I would probably do it sometime this fall. I'm going to take the bench and the ashes down to the Two Rivers Wildlife Area and set it up there, maybe get a bronze plaque if I can secure it somehow and explain to visitors why, what's here and why the dog's ashes are there. So that's my plan for now.
Well, I tell you what, that's bringing a tear to my eye already. As a matter of fact, Ron, this is Steve Strusinski, Struman, and Sam Oftedal is to my left. You know, it seems it's almost been 2 years since you had your send-off from Minnesota Bound. It goes so quickly. And frankly, I cried that night. And if I watch this thing at 10:30 tonight, I'm guessing I'm going to shed a tear.
Well, you can join me because I think I will too.
Yeah.
You know, she played a – here's what's amazing to me is, you know – I don't know. I can't explain the magnetism she had with people, except there weren't many labs with red bandanas being on television. So that probably was the biggest part of it. But people just gravitated to her. They loved to pet her, and of course she liked to be petted. And it was a phenomenon. And when you watch this show tonight, you're going to say, my gosh, I mean, people just flocking to look at her at the state fair. Just standing there staring at this dog. And so it was phenomenal. And I can't really explain it beyond that, except, and I mentioned this in the show, you know, we all love our dogs. And we all mourn when we lose one. And I just want people to know that my loss of Raven is no greater than whatever losses they had. She was my sidekick on television, and frankly, she raised my bank account a lot.
hey, I'll tell you, Ron, about 5 years ago, I think it was, we were doing the ice show or something. Might have been the boat show, the Four Outdoorsmen. We were not the Four Outdoorsmen at that time, and you were walking by our booth, and we called you over, and you said something like, you know, it's really hard to be Ron Shera and being the third most popular character on the television show. And that's probably the truth. It was first it was Raven, then Laura, then you said, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth to that, too.
Hey, speaking about Minnesota Bound, do you watch all of the episodes right now with Laura and Bill? Do you catch up on them, all of them?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. Gosh, I still have stories in almost all of them. So.
Yeah, you're right. You do, as a matter of fact. You do. Yeah. You know, I think you must have done like 1,000 of these shows over 25 years, whatever it is. 1995 is when you started. And a couple of them stick. I've been watching it since I was a kid. I'm 69 years old. Pretty soon, 68 years old. And there was a guy, 2013, 12 or 14, I'm not even sure. And his name was Michigan Muskie Guy. And I don't remember why I got the name Michigan Muskie Guy in my head. You can't remember all of these episodes by any means.
You know, I don't remember that one without maybe a little bit more detail. And Muskie stories are tough because you set the scene, you almost have to catch one. And, you know, Muskies aren't easy to catch. So
yeah.
I've always shied away from a Muskie story where it meant you had to catch one, or I did, or somebody else had to catch one. So I don't remember that one, but I do remember a lot of them.
Hey, Ron, I know that you're a turkey guy and you love turkey hunting. Switching gears here a little bit with turkey season going up, I know that you'd always went out west to your place. Do you have a new place, or are you going, where are you going to go turkey hunting this year?
Well, I've got a couple places in Minnesota I could go. I haven't decided. I was actually maybe planning to go to the opener April 15th. It's just coming up here. I could have never done that, but I looked at the weather and I go, oh man, I think I'm going to wait. Although I noticed now we've got this crappy weather now, tomorrow, Tuesday, and then Wednesday is starting to get better and Thursday is going to be better. I think the season opens Wednesday. I have learned this over the years. When you get a stretch of bad weather and then you get real good weather, those gobblers go crazy because they're like nobody else. I mean, they don't feel like courting when snow and cold. So when it gets sunny and warm, they get all excited. So that's, I'm guessing the last part of this week will be a real good time to hunt turkeys.
Ron, you hunt all the time, I think, someplace in South Dakota turkeys. You have for many, many years, probably the same place. When you started hunting turkeys in South Dakota, I'm guessing that the population of turkeys in Minnesota was not as great as it was in South Dakota. So that's what got you to South Dakota in the first place. But since we have so many turkeys in Minnesota right now, why not just stay in Minnesota?
Well, I have a turkey camp out there, and you're wrong. When I was in South Dakota and how I got introduced to turkeys in 1967, there wasn't a turkey in Minnesota.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, my turkey camp out in the Black Hills got started accidentally because I brought a couple of friends from Minnesota out to hunt with me. I discovered the turkey out there when I worked for South Dakota Game and Fish Department. Then when I came to Minnesota, I wanted to go back. I brought some friends with me, and they got hooked immediately, which turkeys do. And so the next thing I know, we had more people coming out there. I had to find some guides. And the next thing you know, I was we were housing, feeding, and guiding Minnesota turkey hunters. And they got so addicted to it. I was the first president, we started the Minnesota chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation before there was ever a season in this state. And we helped DNR pay for the trap and transplant program. And they finally got some turkeys from Missouri that took hold down in the southeast. But that all happened like in the mid-70s. So there weren't any turkeys in 1967 in Minnesota.
Speaking of what you... Oh, go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, Ron, that whole program was tremendously successful, obviously, and there's just turkeys everywhere. Why do you think that they took off so well here? Do you think it's just great habitat or lack of predators? That's got to be one of the most successful reintroductions of game in history, don't you think?
Well, it is. You know, years ago they used to think that you needed as expansive timber to have turkeys be successful. Then they learned that wasn't true. The turkeys would live in almost little woodlots, etc. A couple things. One, they roost in trees, so at night they're not bothered by ground predators. Owls get a few of them. And then the hens are very, very, very successful, secretive, and they're a big bird. So there's not a lot of predators going to mess with them that are smaller than they are, and there's not. So they're pretty successful bringing off young. They eat almost anything. What does surprise me, though, is how successful they've been north of Brainerd, Minnesota, mm-hmm. where you kind of run out of agriculture in some cases, and of course you run into long, cold, deep snow winters. But they still seem to be able to survive up there. And but I mean, they're just an amazing bird, and they got eliminated in Minnesota back in the 1800s. There was no season, there was no limit. People hunted for food. And they learned ways to trick turkeys into sticking their heads in a ditch in the ground and pulling a shotgun at the other end and killing 30 of them at a crack, you know. So so they just got overhunted. And then we were cutting trees down like crazy, too, so it probably didn't help the habitat.
Good, Sam.
Hey, Ron, Sam here. Speaking of limits, do you think Minnesota, since turkeys are getting so plentiful, that we'll ever get to you can take two turkeys?
Well, I don't know about two. I would like to see them get rid of the six-day hunts first. I'd like to be able to get a license and hunt the whole season, and just keep the limit at one. South Dakota now has some places where it's two. I think what happens sometimes when you expand the limit on a game animal, you decrease its it's prestige.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you you only got one turkey and you can get two, and or sure. That's just you know what I mean there. So I would rather keep it at one for the time being and then open it up so you can hunt anywhere there's an open season.
So with expanding the season, just like you said, a season long tag, do you think there should still be zones, or do you think it should be just statewide?
I think it'd be statewide.
Yeah, I agree.
The hunters will spread themselves out. You know, I think this is what we sometimes forget. If I'm going to a public area and if I see there's other turkey hunters there, I'm maybe a little late or whatever, I'm not going there because turkey hunting can be very dangerous because you're sounding like a bird, you know, and so you have to use some judgment there. And if you see a hunter walking near you, don't call like a turkey. You might swing and who knows, but so use your human voice. I've had to do that a couple of times.
Wow.
Just say, hey, I'm over here.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, Mark.
This thing that you're stalking, it's been me, buddy.
Well, Ron, we'll wrap it up here. We have about a minute left. I just want to thank you for coming on and encourage everyone to check out Minnesota Bound tonight on Care 11. It's going to be a great show. I had a sneak peek as well. And thank you also. I just wanted to give a shout out to MinFish and all the work you do for them. And we encourage our listeners to sign up for MinFish. It's a great organization. So thank you for your work. And thank you very much. And I hope that you had a good time with your family today on Easter. And hopefully I'll get to see you soon, buddy.
Well, thanks, Mark. Don't forget the Raven show will also re-air next Saturday at 6:30 if you can't stay up till 10:30. And yeah, go to menfish.com, men-fish.com, and join up. Thank you, guys.
All right, have a great night.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care, Ron. Nice.
Bye-bye.
Man,
he's the greatest, man.
Hey, let's take a break. Brandon, some music. We're gonna get back here with Thane Jensen, talk a little more crappie fishing in the spring, maybe more about turkey hunting.
Maybe.
During these uncertain times, two incredible Minnesota organizations, Fishing for Life and Reach for Resources, need our help. So on Thursday, April 23rd, we're going to do things a little different on Bob FM so we can make a difference. Sure, we're still going to play the most iconic hits in country music, but we're also going to share stories of those whose lives have been impacted by Fishing for Life and Reach for Resources while offering you an opportunity to give and to help these organizations continue their outstanding missions. Help us raise awareness and donate during the 2020 Bob FM Radiothon, Thursday, April 23rd from 7 to 7. Thanks in part to Plow World, Azul Staffing, and Hoffman Weber Construction.
Corey King and his crew at Power Lodge would love to show you how they work. Since 1998, Power Lodge has been one of the most successful marine and power sports dealers in the state of Minnesota for a lot of reasons. Great inventory, competitive pricing, experienced and knowledgeable staff, great service. Whether you're looking for an ATV, a snowmobile, a motorcycle, UTV, a Lumacraft boat, Power Lodge stocks, sells, and services them all. Power Lodge is in Ramsey, Onamia, and Brainerd, and check out the Today's Hot Deals tab on their website, powerlodge.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
The team at Devil's Lake Tourism does all they can to make sure you have a great experience. More importantly, they want you to be safe. Until it's certain that the coronavirus is in check, please stay close to home and take care of your family. When the time is right, all the hunting and fishing opportunities will still be there. Everyone at Devil's Lake Tourism truly thanks you for your support. But for now, stay home and stay informed with devilslakend.com. Thanks, and be safe.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Check out the latest in virtual golf. Get a $50 certificate for X-Golf and Champlin and Blaine for only $25. For more details, check out DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. You can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. You can try a full 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. Call 1-800-473-9071. 1-800-473-9071. 1-800-473-9071.
Love at first sight? Nah, I thought that was just movie stuff. Until last Saturday. Because last Saturday, it happened to me. Aaron's delivered my brand new Samsung refrigerator. Yeah. With built-in ice maker, affordable payments, no credit hassles. And now I know what love looks like.
What's it look like?
And sounds like, too. Oh, listen to that.
Nice. Rent to own that's easy, beautiful, and affordable. Aaron's for your happy place.
I will tell you some stories about Shelly when we're off the air, all right?
I can't wait.
Because I don't think Shelly Holland's listening right now, so no, you just wait for the...
Don't
hey, welcome back
her
to
horn,
the,
though.
Welcome back to the 4 Outdoorsman. Mark's got a couple shout-outs.
Yeah, thanks for those who wrote in on this Easter with the shout-outs. If you go to the 4 Outdoorsman on Facebook and comment on our shout-out posts every week, we try to read them on air. Some of them come in late, we can't get to them, but we have a couple here. My childhood friend, Mike Lund, he lived about 4 houses away from me, and we were best friends through grade school, as a shout-out here. He just caught a 32-inch pike. Wisconsin started April 1st, bass catch and release till May opener. Fishing for bass, all I find are pike. He says, hi, Mark. Hi, Mike. Good to hear from you. And our friend Scott Olzenek says, fishing online for a new pen reel. It's a great time to get some new rods and reels. Our old sponsor, Omnia Fishing, I just got a new panfish. Yeah. My panfish rod and reel. My 7-year-old seems to hijack all my fishing equipment. So it's actually a good thing because then I get new stuff. So.
Well, yeah, and you have a lot of friends like the friend we have in the air right now. He's a clam guy. He's an ice team. He's a turkey guy. He's a fisherman. He does everything. Thane Jensen, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsman.
Hey, gentlemen. How we all doing? Happy Easter.
Yeah, same to you. Every day's a
Happy
gift
Easter,
is what I
Thane.
Say, buddy. Yeah. How are you doing, pal? Things going okay with you?
Things are going really well. I'm doing well. We're hanging in there on this front. This snow sure does kind of put a little damper on things, but what are you going to do? Good time to work in the garage.
You know, go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say, you know what can solve that damper thing is your recent Facebook post of your high school senior picture.
Well, you know, see, I have a senior myself, so I'm not going to lie. She's taken it really, really well, this whole school being pretty much done and no grad party, well, no graduation, no prom, all those things. So she's been a trooper, but lately I've been kind of starting to think that, you know what, she's kind of getting ripped off here. So I saw that start, and I thought, well, why not?
You know what, I'm looking at it right now, Thane, and Sam just sent it to my way. You know, if I were gay, I'd go after you, pal. You're you are one good-looking kid, man.
You keep in mind that was a while ago, Stru. So
hey, that was the year I was born.
Yeah, right. Some things have changed. So quite a few things. I don't think I'm a 29 waist anymore.
Man,
were you sporting a little mullet, a little hockey hair back there, or what'd you have? Did you have some flow?
You know, that was just the cool thing to do. You know, I'd love to say, because my daughters are both, you know, hockey studs, that I had my Canadian waterfall going there, but that's just not what it was about. It was more the whole Kirk Cameron thing, I think. And
the rolled up jeans and no socks.
I've taken a little bit of flack over the whole picture, but it's all in fun and I enjoy it.
So you're a little bit older than me, but I remember in about sixth, seventh grade, my sisters had to teach me how to tight roll my pants, and I still remember how to do it. That was if you didn't have your pants tight rolled and you went to school, you were an absolute chump for about a year.
Really?
Oh yeah, I mean that's a skill that I think every now and then, like when I'm going to be putting waders on or pulling my Ice Armor bibs on, I'll put a quick tight roll on there just so that things don't ride up on you when you're pulling the bibs over.
Hey, whether you know Thane Jensen or not, Mark's going to post this picture on our website or something, because it's well worth it. And the Kurt Cameron is a great. Comparison there. Hey, I'll tell you what, we just got done talking with our buddy Ron Shira, you know, and he's the icon of everybody around here for sure. Talking a little bit about turkey hunting. Are you going to be turkey hunting this week?
You know, I am not. This week, I'm obviously going to be working from home, and, you know, I can't tell you how excited I am to get out turkey hunting. I think yesterday I watched as many turkey hunting shows as I could before my family got up. We've tackled the garage project this Easter weekend, and well, we're done. We're done for the day. But I do have a couple of trips in the books. I'm hopeful that, you know, they're out of state so far. I don't quite know yet what's going to happen in Minnesota, whether I will hunt it or where. I'm pretty sure I will. I just don't know where I'm going to go yet. It's really, really nice this year for us Minnesotans that we don't have to apply for a tag unless you want to hunt one of those three. I think it's Carlos Avery and two of the other wildlife management areas that you would have needed to apply for. But other than that, they're over-the-counter tags. I'm super excited about that. And there's, I believe there's season-wide tags. So
I believe there are. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, yep. Thane, I know that you normally go to Iowa for your trips. What is it like applying for a tag in Iowa? Is it the same kind of deal, or do they have the weekly seasons and zones and all that stuff?
Yeah, Iowa's seasons are generally, like 3 and 4 day seasons until you get to that last season, which is their fourth season. That'll carry you through. I believe it's a 14 day season. I haven't hunted Iowa. Actually, that's where my family lives, and I'd love to go back there, but those tags are just crazy expensive. And as much as I would love it, my dad and I have kind of started a tradition over the last few years. We go out to the Black Hills of South Dakota with a good friend of mine, Craig Euler, and his father, and we've kind of started a tradition of doing that. And that's the one that I'm really, really excited for. Normally, we would be out there right about now, or have not already been out, and things are kind of on hold right now. And then Wisconsin. Going to do some Wisconsin stuff with my good buddy Brennan Schutte.
I remember Brennan.
Minnesota's looking like I might slide back south with my good buddy and college roommate Jared LaFrance down there in that Waterville area. He and I haven't hunted together in a few years, and we've had some fun in the past. So
You were talking about South Dakota. I just talked to a couple of hours ago to Melissa Bachman, who you know, and talking about turkey hunting. And she said she's all excited about it. She's going to be on the show next week, by the way. But she said they're all excited because their family's got 10 tags. I mean,
oh wow!
How do you do that?
And they're South Dakota tags, true?
Right, South Dakota tags. Yeah.
So South Dakota does. They kind of break their state up. East River, West River, which is east or west of the Missouri River. And so there are prairie tags, which are like out in the southern prairies of South Dakota. There are Black Hills tags, which they're good for that area, which is considered the Black Hills. And then there's just a standard South Dakota tag. Now, I really only am from, and then I know there are also some reservation tags on some of the reservations out there that are separate from everything as well. So I don't quite know exactly how that's all working out for her. But like I said, my experience is more with that Black Hills and then some of that Sisseton, South Dakota reservation hunting.
Give us a few lessons, okay, pal? A lot of us around here, like myself, specifically have never turkey hunted.
Yeah, you have.
I've not really.
We've gone like three or four times.
I went once and had the wrong shotgun shell in my rifle, whatever that was. So don't worry.
Shotgun shell
in
his rifle.
In my rifle. But anyway, so give us some tips as to how to start this game. What shotgun would you use? How many decoys would you use? Do you have to go out and scout the night before or weeks before you're going to choose a place to hunt? What's your game plan?
Well, my game plan is kind of crazy. I'm kind of a fanatic. So, yeah, I'm going to scout the day before, try and see where birds are roosting because they generally will go back to the same spot. And then I'll try to keep an eye on them, glassing, you know, from a distance. You don't want to get in there and bang them around the woods. You want to glass them from a distance. Maybe if you can, from the truck, put them to bed, watch where they're going to roost or at least the general vicinity. That way you can get in on them relatively tight in the morning. But yeah, 12-gauge shotgun is my gun of choice. I shoot a 3.5-inch, you know, I'm trying to think, 5-shot is what I'm shooting out of that guy. And they haven't let me down yet for a while, but I've let myself down, but now the cartridges have not.
Do you pattern in your gun every year, or you're pretty spot on with it?
Nah, you know what? I'm gonna pattern in this year. Last year I ran into a little pro tip here. Not that I'm a pro, but pro tip would be when you get transitional bifocals, that really really messes up your sight picture a lot. So, it, needless to say, I was probably wearing those same glasses that you saw in that. Or did I not? Anyway. I had some really old ones that were single vision that I had to throw on to get through the trip out in the Black Hills. So,
good, Mark.
So, Dane, I plan on getting my first turkey this year. I've gone for about 5 years, and I know that I've asked you for advice forever. But when I do shoot this first turkey, how do you like to prepare it? How do you do your wild birds?
So, I you know what? The best way that I really, really like it, I just like to breast them out and then and then just leave them in like an Italian dressing overnight and then put them on the grill. Turkey tenders are super good too. You know, dredge them in flour and fry them up good. But if a person's got plenty of time on their hands and they like the tedious work of plucking a bird, man, there's nothing like deep frying a wild turkey. There really isn't, you know. You get yourself one of those little injector deals and inject it full of different stuff, and man alive, not much like it out there. Super juicy, super tender, and lots of flavor.
Have you ever had wild turkey on a smoker?
You know, I haven't, but I picked up a Traeger about 2 years ago, and you know, now that we're having this conversation, and it seems like I've been smoking so much meat here over the last week and a half, being home all day, every day, that it may have to happen. I'm running out of things to smoke there.
I think we're in the same boat. I've smoked about 7 different things in the last 2 weeks because I'm just sitting at home all day. I did ribs. I did a turkey.
Oh, yeah.
I did all sorts of stuff. And you just did a brisket, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a brisket yesterday for my father-in-law's birthday.
I started taking pictures of everything. So I'm going to have an actual quarantine photo album of all the food I cooked.
Have a big old collage hanging on your wall someday, you know, telling stories to the grandkids. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what, you're a big, big avid turkey hunter, and it's exciting to hear you tell some of your stories. We know how you've screwed up before. Is there one particular incident where you got a turkey that you never thought you would? You think, damn, that was really a lot of fun. You got a particular story about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're all super fun. I mean, I've tried some silly things in my day. You know, the offhand, and when I say offhand, like I shoot left-handed, but trying to shoot one-handed with my right hand, turning around on a bird that came in behind me and boogered. that was funny. I've had birds. The best story, Strew, and I apologize, it's a little bit of a long one, but I was in Kansas with my brother-in-law, and we were hunting Rio Grande turkeys down there, and he had shot his bird the first day, and you can get two in the same day. We both had two tags. I shoot a bird, and no joke, it's laying there stone dead, and I'm getting ready to go get it, and my buddy was like, no, don't go. There's more coming. And I'm like, really? And I look up and there's literally five more turkeys running out to where my bird is. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. They started dancing around my turkey like the Keystone Cops, making all kinds of noises. And pretty soon, just like Hulk Hogan, when he's almost pinned on the mat, this turkey of mine that I had already shot is like, his head starts moving. And I'm like, he's getting his second wind. I need to kill one of these other ones. And just as I shoot, my bird stands up and I missed the whole shooting match, right? So now the entire flock is running across the field, and my asthmatic fat butt is running across this chisel plowed field, and I'm like, I'm gonna catch this wounded bird. There's no way he's gonna clear the fence. Well, just like Carl Lewis, he clears the fence. I'm like, here we go. And I'm like, no way. So I jump the fence. Well, I don't make it. I fall into a tree, knock the wind out of myself, and I'm in 3 foot tall grass, and I'm like, this bird's getting away. I've got no wind. I'm crawling on my knees, and I reach over and I grab a stick and I throw it at the bird. I'm just so pissed. Throw this stick at the bird, and sure enough, he turns around and he comes running right back at me. He runs right past me, and as he ran by me, you guys, I reached out, I snatched him by the neck, and I threw him on the ground, and I sat on him, and I choked him out. True story. That's as true a story as there ever was.
Man, I wish you had a GoPro on you for that
one. Oh, my God.
Oh, awesome. And they couldn't even see him. When my buddies got to me, they were laughing so hard they couldn't see the bird. They're like, did you get him? I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't talk. I'm mid-asthma attack, catching my breath. And they're like, well, where is it? And all I could do was point down because I was sprawled out on top of this thing. He wasn't getting away. And somehow in all of that, I managed to booger up my shoulder. And I've been kind of nursing it for probably going on 15 years now. But last fall, I was lifting some minnows into the boat, and I was really, really fearful that that turkey was going to have his day.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that turkey caused you to blow up your shoulder and ruin your golf game as well, you got to tell that story every year and as often as you can. You've got to get your money's worth. Hey, we got to wrap it up here, Thane. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks for being our friend. Take care of your shoulder. Take care of your family and be safe. All right, pal?
Hey, thank you all once again. Happy Easter, and thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Happy Easter, Thane.
We're going to wrap it up. Sam, Strewman, Lukey, thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll talk to us next week. Melissa Bachman is going to be on. We're not sure who else. But in the meantime, Lukey's going to say goodbye.
Get outside.
You got it.